may God have mercy on us all.
Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only
$14.99. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Matt.
Well, listen, it looks like the inmates have taken over the prison here.
We've gone rogue.
John is out for the week. He is, he's actually, he and Stephanie of, are tending to their family, scattering, the ashes of Steph's, parents. And so they're being able to do that this week in a real kind of sacred space, and time for them. So it's good for them to be together in there. So, which means that you and I are,
we're doing a little pop-up.
We're on the loose here.
We're on the loose.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we would just kind of have a short time just to talk about some of the things that are happening in the world, and particularly in Israel and the Palestinian conflict. And that's deeply, deeply painful just to see, you know, what's continuing to take place there. And just the terrorist attack on that music festival, thinking about also, you know, the very similar music festival that's happening in Austin.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so many of my friends that are, you know, watching Mumford and Son and the Foo Fighters and whoever else is there, you know, just sending me pictures and realizing that the same thing is happening across the world, with young people that are, you know, being killed.
Yeah.
Over a two-state conflict. So yeah,
my question to you, and I'm sure a lot of people are battling with this, but you know, with a lot of people taking sides and who's right and who's wrong, and similar to, you know, where we find ourselves politically in America, there's more of an onus to just pick a side and go, they're wrong, they're the worst, or they're wrong and they're the worst. How do we continue to find that third way? And especially in this situation, how do you grieve with those who grieve and pray for the people in the Gaza Strip and in Israel?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. You know, I grew up in a Christian home where, you know, there was a deep sense that Israel could do no wrong because they were the chosen people, that Jesus was going to come back. And, you know, the landing strip was, you know, the Mount of Olives. I mean, he was just going to touch down there and just everything was going to change. And so there's a real sense that then, you know, that Israel was, the chosen people, which I think they are. In the way that they could be a blessing for the rest of the world is what the hope of Yahweh was. And so, and then I think after the World War II, just knowing that, you know, there was a whole population that was intent on exterminating, and you use the word extermination camps. That's what you do to animals. You know, and so to have a group of people that say you're not even human, we will exterminate you, cause the world to rise up and say, actually, we need to create a place for these people. That this Yad Vashem, you know, this will never happen again, never again, nunca mas. But in every language, there is this sense when genocides happens, we say never again. And so you have this deep, deep seated dignity movement that says no,
right?
No, this is not what we do to each other. And so Israel was really created out of that space, and so the conflict of Israel since I've been a, you know, I think right before I was born, you know,
87 years ago.
Thank you, Jeff. Right after Jesus graduated from high school, he was a class right above me.
Yeah, y'all had a timeshare in Tahoe, right?
Jesus could shred the waves, dude. Say what you want. That's where his reputation walking on water is, because he could surf. Anyway, like that conflict, and particularly historically, has been about space and place, right? Mm. The land. And so it really is, I think, and I'm no political scientist, but it really is about two radically kind of different states that are arguing and contending over a piece of land. Mm. And a different way of, and then you have everything, all the other small parts of that that have been litigated for and against historically,
right?
You know, every detail about that for those two sides. And so I think it's immensely complicated. I think about even as a kid watching, you know, Jimmy Carter kind of bring, you know, these two leaders together at a table where folks said it would never happen, thinking, okay, peace has happened now.
Right.
You know, watching then every other president since then kind of bring leaders to the table.
Right.
And thinking, okay, maybe there'll be peace in Israel in our time. I think it's much more complicated,
sure,
than just two sides,
right?
Because you do have Hamas, which is a terrorist organization that then gets synonymously placed over the Palestinian folks, right? You have Israel that has been contending and fighting for its own space and time, and that the world carved out and took part of the Palestinian, you know, land away and gave that to them. The world said, we have to do this.
Right.
Right. Which there is grieving on both sides of that. If you're a Palestinian watching your land being, you know, somebody coming saying, hey, I know this has been ancestral lands for generations, but you need to move, you know, provides some resentment.
Absolutely.
And you have folks that were showing up on boats in the late 40s, early 50s from all over the world, you know, that had been displaced from Europe, their whole families being wiped out, showing up to a land that was theirs.
Right.
And so all of it comes with both, I think, a deep sense, depending on, like, one of the things that Bertrand Russell says is that every way of seeing is just another way of not seeing.
Mm.
And so, which is an invitation into understanding that in any lens that I put on is just a way of not seeing something, right? And so, I think that it's important to be able to probably in all of this wear multiple lenses at different times to hold both the dignity of what needs to happen within Israel, but also to understand that there's got to be another way forward, that you can hold on to Palestinian dignity without supporting Hamas.
Right.
You have to. Right. You have to be able to hold on to Israeli sovereignty without holding on to the brutality of people behind walls and the shrinking of those settlements that have happened over time.
Right.
And even saying that, I know that I'm probably stepping into areas I don't know anything about, that I only read about, that I only watch, but there's a deep sense that I think that we have to hold these things in complicated ways, while at the same time knowing right now that Hamas, a terrorist organization, attacked a sovereign piece of land with people to disrupt that and to kill them. And
right. Civilians that were not armed.
It was, it's repugnant at every level.
Yeah.
And so, that's the part that I think is non-negotiable, but the brutality of people on both sides is non-negotiable. So I think that you have a terrorist organization of Palestine that's intent on the extermination of people on the other side, but that's not the whole Palestinian people.
Right. And so in a lot of ways, it seems super unfair that, you know, innocent Palestinians are getting the retaliation that, you know, someone that doesn't represent them necessarily started. So it's really hard to watch and, you know, on this side of the ocean, you don't really know, you know, how do you even pray for these people, and what are you praying for? And like,
right.
Cause it's so convoluted at this point.
Right. And I think, you know, it's really hard because I think when Israel was given land, they brought then Palestine into these settlements.
Right.
Right. And so you had part of the West Bank, but you had, they were big pieces of land. And then the settlements, the Israeli settlements through the kind of the Zionist movement, were then occupying those settlements, coming in. And some of that was through kind of religious kind of like structure, saying, actually, this is our land, and we're gonna be here.
Right.
The other part of that is that it was cheaper rent. For some it was an economic thing, right? But that you could live in a cheaper space within your own, you know, proximity of getting to work and those things. So
wow.
it's just deeply complicated.
Yeah.
As a way forward. And so I think that's why if you have been consumed, as probably a lot of us have been, with images on Instagram and news reports coming both out of Palestine and Israel, and seeing the brutality on both sides of those places, that we have to find a different way forward.
Yeah.
You know, I think at a recent concert, you know, Saint Bono was
Saint Bono
was singing Pride in the Name of Love. And I remember hearing that song I think I was in junior high when, you know, Boy came out, War came out. And that song was that song was lifted up in the midst of the Irish Troubles, you know, and thinking, you know, 40 years on, that song still this weekend, it has prophetic insight,
right?
You know, that we have to figure out a nonviolent way forward.
Yeah.
And this is Isaac and Ishmael living together,
right?
You know, these are at the end of the day, this is the oldest conflict of brothers that are tearing each other apart. I think grief, I'll just say this. I've got a friend that I made a couple years ago who's a Muslim, and a religious Muslim. And we were talking about, the connection of Abraham between Isaac and Ishmael. And I went back to read this part of Genesis, and I never saw this, but at the end of Abraham's life, God said, I'm going to give you land, seed, and blessing, Abraham. So land, here's this land that will be yours one day. Seed, which is the look at the stars of the sky, and this is going to be your descendants. And then a blessing. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be chosen, but not so that you can be set apart and be like untouchable. It's the saying that we used to say around Chapelwood, blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to make you a blessing in the world, so that when you show up, people are like, oh, all right, let's get the party started. The good stuff's here. Good, you know. And so, when Abraham died, all he had was a small plot of land that was a graveyard for his wife, Sarah. And that's it. That's the land he owned. That's the only thing, land, seed, and blessing. The only thing that he was given at the end of his life, he had at the end of his life, of those three things that Yahweh said, this is what would be a part of your legacy, was a graveyard that he buried Sarah. And then he goes back and he marries Hagar. Hagar was around. He marries Hagar, brings him, and they are reunited for the rest of his life. He dies. And it says that Ishmael and Isaac come together to bury their father. And the last, in a sense, image that I have of those two boys are standing in front of a grave of their father weeping. Possibly arm in arm. And I'm wondering if the way forward is not through power, but through grief. If it's not through justifiable anger and rightness about our own needs and wants and rights, if it's about giving up. This is what I think the passage in Philippians, kenosis, that John was talking about, that this emptying, the only way forward is to find a new way. And I don't know if that has not happened in my lifetime in Israel, but I think we can pray for the victims of repugnant violence. And I think that we can also pray for the perpetrators of those things. And that we can work for peace in a different way. We have to. And I don't know what that means, but we've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's, and maybe on the podcast going forward, we can maybe get some smart folks on this to help us break this down.
That'd be
a little
great.
More, you know?
That'd be great.
Besides, maybe John will be back. He's the smart guy. So maybe he'll set us all straight on this.
Right.
So, yeah. That's where I think that's both we pray for peace and we work for that too. We work for justice in those places, for human dignity.
Yeah.
You know, it's this, you know, it's like, it was on fire when we got there, kind of thing, right? You know, and so how do we part of our mandate, you know, part of what Paul says is to, you know, to put on the gospel of peace, put it on your feet, walk in it, you know, and that Jesus talks about being blessed are the peacemakers, you know, and that peace I think comes at a. In some ways, peace is a difficult job because it's not peaceful. Mm. I have a tendency to think, oh, peacemakers are bringing peace. No, a lot of times what they have to do is walk into a deep mess where everybody is right. Every data point is contested.
Right.
Right? Everything about what somebody says, well, what about this? Another side can say, well, this is why.
Right.
Right? It's deeply contested. Part of the call, I think, for us is to continue to lay down our lives in service for others, find a different way forward. How to do that, I think, takes a lot of wisdom, and maybe we can find some folks that might help us do that going forward.
Yeah, that's great. What's going on at Chapelwood this week? What's going on at the Crossing? Ted Lasso.
Yeah. So we started a new series called The Gospel According to Ted Lasso. Some of us watched that over the pandemic, and it was just kind of tied a rope of joy around us in a really painful time. And there was just, and so we're just kind of pulling out different clips about and different characters of that, and just looking at that through the prism of both scripture and a more mature spirituality. We looked at this last week, the whole notion of curiosity versus judgment, and what does it mean to in a place to cultivate curiosity. And how do we do that? And what are the benefits of that? And so it was great. And I think John is in a series on Philippians, letters from prison. And so we're just kind of breaking down the letter to the Philippians and looking at what that is about, and kind of what it means to walk in Christ, to put the mind of Christ on, to actually live this out in practical terms.
Yeah.
And so I think that series is really just rich and robust. So,
all right.
Well, I'm Matt Russell.
And I'm Jeff Wood.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.